Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ. And wow, oh wow, have we got some stuff to talk about. I don't know. Bigger deal. Rockets with the worst record and therefore the best chance. And they cannot pick lower than number five. Or Astros start to the season.
No, Astros start to the season.
Bigger deal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if the Rockets had the first pick, I might tell you that, but just knowing they're one through five, I think the Astros start and Jeremy Pena, after people...
I just fear that Jeremy Pena, I just saw that he can't throw. He has a problem with a cyst in his shoulder, probably. He can't hit. This is pitching's too much.
And then like, okay, are we okay with Jeremy Pena now? Have we calmed down after one game? I think that's the story. Jeremy Pena gets off to a good start. The Astros.
Bigger deal. Well, Jeremy Pena, awesome. Alex Bregman off to that start.
Bregman is just very, it's like he doesn't get as much attention because he's not the guy replacing Correa. Alex Bregman just has gotten off to a great start.
It's unbelievable.
The kid is back. He dyed his hair blonde. Okay, maybe he's serious this year.
Yeah.
Now that he went platinum
it's
blonde.
It's brown again. It's not.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how long it was platinum for, just the UFC fight.
Yeah.
That just lets you know, oh, he went platinum.
Yeah.
This is kind of.
No. I was surprised when he took his helmet off the first time. I was like, hey, that's not blonde
anymore.
That
was quick, yeah.
Yeah. Did it grow out that fast, or just how does that work?
I don't know.
When you dye yours, what does it do?
I don't dye mine blonde. I don't know.
Or brown.
I don't dye mine brown. No. I just think that he's, I don't know what he did. I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe sprayed it. Maybe it's just for the one time, just flexing out at a UFC or something. I have no idea. I just know this. He's serious business. Alex Bregman is back, folks.
Okay, bigger deal. That or the way Verlander looked or the whole starting rotation has looked so far.
I think the starting rotation. You know, I don't know if you heard it or not in the pregame show. Actually, Stanton was, he was so-so on Verlander. Thought he was okay at best. And Justin had some comments about himself. And Stanton said, I'm glad to see him point those things out because – He goes, the numbers look good, but, you know, that was not JV's best stuff. He could have done – he said he had a bad slider. Like, Verlander was giving you some pitcher stuff. And I think it was a pitcher talking about another pitcher where they both recognized certain things. But if that's Verlander's C game, I'll take it.
Absolutely.
I'll take the C game if that's what it is.
Well, and let's not forget, he give up a solo homer? This is what Justin Verlander did his last season. He was Cy Young, and yet that's all he did. I forget when he pitched. 2019 was the last time. Did he win the Cy Young that year or whatever the case?
Yeah, he beat Cole, who should have won it.
Yeah. Anyway, because that's really when he was getting his award, and then the scandal came out, and he made a joke. But remember, he was giving up home runs. He was giving up bombs because he's working high in the zone. And it looked a lot like that, if you want to know the truth. Gave up a solo home run. Listen, Urquidy, the way he picked, I did not realize this. Did you see the tweet by Brian McTaggart?
What?
That the only – did you see Urquidy's? Urquidy's .99 whip last season ranked seventh best in the majors last year?
Yeah, he just had limited – it was – oh, no. Yeah, last year was limited starts, right?
Yeah, well, he had to have at least 100 innings pitch.
I always get my COVID seasons mixed up.
No, this was last year was a full year.
When was the year? Okay, it was a full year. The year before is when he was out, and then he just was mysteriously out for a long time.
Yeah, he was sick the year before, right? He wasn't around. That and this tweet, I didn't realize this either. That since the start of last season, where does Kyle Tucker rank in OPS? In the AL.
Since the start of last season?
Since the start of last
season. He was really good last year. You know, he's pretty, you know, top six?
Third.
Yeah.
Behind Guerrero and Shohei.
Ooh, that's serious.
Yeah, that's it.
Those are your two By the way, those are your two MVP favorites going
into
the season.
That's why I think Tucker is probably the favorite for this team to win the MVP. He hasn't gotten off to the start, although he did hit a bomb. Holy crap. What a great weekend. Did you see what Joe Maddon said?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, really, Joe? Really? Joe Maddon said that that team beat us, but we can beat them. We're as good as they are. What? Now what now? Because you're fielding Joe Adell in left field is maybe one of, now he did rob Nico Goodrum of a homer in the eighth inning yesterday. But Joe Adell in left field is one of the worst fielders I've seen in a while. And it doesn't matter where you hit the ball. It's an adventure for the Angels.
Yeah.
Even Trout had the error on Bregman's single.
I was thinking about this. How do you feel if you're the Angels? The Astros have been your father for a while now. You've been woefully underperforming relative to your star power for a while now. And the Astros come in and give you one run, two runs, one run. Of course,
Were probably cheating.
You got six in the other one. Yeah, I mean, they had their buzzers and everything. Well, up, obviously, their road buzzers.
But it was pitching.
Well, they cheated. They did their pitching cheating and their hitting cheating on the road. There's new cheating that they're probably doing. But how did it feel for the Astros to out-cheat you, I guess, and give you one run, two runs, one run, and then I guess you get six. Okay, congratulations for your six, but the Astros throw 13 on you. You're 1-3 at home against the Astros, and it looks like more of the same. It just looks like an avalanche of terror coming at you from the Astros starting pitching.
Well, that's because the hitting in this lineup continues to be. And look, if Pena hits like this, dude, he's not going to hit 375. Okay, he's just not. I don't believe he's going to hit 375. But holy crap, if that kid can play even. Let's face it, he's off to a better start than Carlos is in Minnesota. It's a small sample size.
I haven't even checked on Carlos.
Well, Carlos was.
I mean, I've seen stuff on Twitter. He trends every single day on Twitter.
Well,
He
homered yesterday.
He had a great throw out from.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, he showed off his arm.
Jesse Winker too.
That's going to literally change baseball forever. I saw him throw him
your
out
guy,
at the plate.
Jesse Winker, who you're scared to death of. But
you are. No. I'm not afraid of him. Carlos Correa will just keep throwing him out
really?
The plate.
Oh, really? Who won two out of three? The Mariners did.
Who won three out of four? Thank you.
Okay. That's it.
750, okay. Better than 666.
Well, you got them this weekend, so I hope you feel good about it.
Yeah, they'll get slaughtered just like everyone else. Okay. Lambs to slaughter.
All right, we'll see.
Lambs to slaughter.
Just watch yourself. With talking some side talking about the Mariners.
I'll side talk that squad.
Listen, if Jeremy Pena gives you anything, and I know that first game he made an error, so he's the worst fielder that you could ever. I guess Carlos Correa never made an error in his history with the Astros.
Yeah, he made like three ever.
But how awesome was it? It's Friday night, right? Yeah, Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Pena, after he goes 0-4, they're up in the stands, and who's doing? It was Julia. Julia was doing an interview
talking
with
to his parents.
Julia was talking to his parents. His dad, who played Geronimo Pena, who played Major League Baseball, and his mom, and they're doing the interview, and Jeremy's at the plate.
Good people around him, and now he's taking it. Happy now.
Cecilia, what are you feeling?
He's gonna kill me.
I'm happy, very happy. Oh,
I don't know, Steven. They might make me stay here for the rest of the game.
Oh,
come on.
Happy. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Did you teach him everything he knows, Geronimo?
Yes,
did you teach him everything?
Yes, I do. We try. Hard.
What an amazing moment for your family. I'm so happy for you guys.
That was Friday night. That was not the, that was not Julia Morales. That was the Apple Plus TV game. And Boy, were people happy about the Apple Plus broadcast.
A lot of happy people. A, the people who couldn't see it, and B, the people who didn't like the broadcast.
They hated everybody but Hunter Pence. Hunter was okay.
He was all right.
But Katie Nolan on the broadcast is... Anyway, but yeah, that was the Apple Plus. That was not Julia Morales. That was Apple, courtesy of Apple Plus.
Yeah, it was
TV.
A cool moment for the family to. It's cool to catch that moment also on TV, kind of TV.
Well, almost TV.
I mean, streaming. Some people like cut out and like, oh, I guess I'm watching Severance now.
Well, have you been watching Severance?
Yeah, I finished it.
You finished it? What'd you think?
I liked it. It grew on me. It had a Westworld vibe.
Yeah.
To it. Even from the opening credits, it's got a very. The more you go, the more you're like, oh, this is just really like Westworld. It grows on you over time. You start getting used to the weirdness, and it starts to make sense. And they start to unveil storylines, and then you watch the Astros, and then you go back to Severance, I guess, during breaks. You know, you know, like any. How you turn channels. Although you can't really pause.
Oh, okay.
You can't pause Apple
TV.
I just
waited until the game was over and watched Severance in its entirety.
I watched it when it came out, so I didn't watch it during the Astros.
Oh, okay. What a week. I guess that was the most important. I guess that was more important than Jalen Green's 41.
In a meaningless game. You should hear. So my son Mason has become the biggest basketball fan, period. Like over the last 2 years, he is all in on basketball. He is furious at Colin Coward's All-NBA second team that Julius Randle made it there. He's storming around the house.
He's mad.
He's just
that
in
Julius
love
Randle
with the Rockets. He's got it on, and I'm listening in the background as I'm in the middle of what became a 10-hour mock draft that I was putting together. And the crowd is going crazy. You would never know they were getting the brakes beaten off of them again as they've lost 7 in a row and given up 124 points a game in those 7 games. But you'd never know it because the fans were just going bananas. Like, this is a 7-game losing streak. They were getting whipped pretty much the entire game. But every point that Jalen Green scored, the crowd was going crazy. And it's a weird energy over there right now with the Rockets where, like I said, they're 3-13 in their last 16. They're 3-13 in their last 16. They're averaging, or they gave up 124.2 points a game over their last 7, which is a 7-game losing streak. To end the season, they were 20-62. They were the worst team in basketball. By all accounts, a disaster of a season if you just go by that. And yet, and I'm not saying it's wrong, by the way, and yet you come away from it and you don't feel that bad.
No.
I don't feel that bad about them losing 7 in a row.
I feel, okay, when we come back, let's go over the season. And high points and low points and what we think going forward for our Houston Rockets. That's the next right here on ESPN. And we've got still ahead. Billy Harmon is going to join us to talk about the Masters. We have got what else we got today? We're going to talk some Philadelphia 76ers basketball, right? I mean, we got James Harden talk.
We're going to talk James Harden.
And we're going to talk Brian Baldinger is going to join us as well, NFL insider. We had some tragedy in the league and some tragedy for some analysts.
Wow, we got to go through that.
And we've got that as well. And we've got what did you learn this weekend in just one sentence?
I'm really interested to see what people come up with for that one.
For that one, because there's a lot of stuff. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence is a half hour away on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now, you want to talk about some Kinetics.
Let me tell you about QC Kinetics. I'm very excited about free. Listen, do not change the channel. I'm telling you right now, you guys have joint pain. It could be shoulder. It could be back, hip, knee. If you've got this pain, then it's elbow, and it's not going away. Your pain is not going away, and now you're starting to think about surgery or steroids. I want to let you know about new treatments that are available that are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals of QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics is the leader in these exciting biological therapies that are going to help restore and repair damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. Just a quick story. My wife's suffering from bone-on-bone knee issues. She's preparing for the Boston Marathon. She's in so much pain right now. It's tough to get through her training sessions. And we are going to, once she's done with that, she wants to keep on running. So we're getting to QC Kinetics. Because if you've got pain in your knee, shoulders, hip, or back that's not going away, these new treatments with astonishing patient satisfaction reports are available. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself with no downtime, no drugs, and no surgery. Once again, no drugs, no surgery, and really no downtime. Call 713-913-5285. You need to learn more about the biological therapies that are changing the way we think about dealing with joint pain. It's very exciting, and it is an alternative because of their regenerative properties. These are long-lasting results. 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, You Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Rockets finished the season, so we got to give them some. There's got to be some talk. And oh, by the way, a big postseason coming. So as the worst team in the league, they get a chance. They get the same chance as the other two who finished as poor. Well, the three biggest losers have the best chance to get the number one overall pick.
Poverty teams, they're called.
Well, they're the biggest losers.
Yeah, they're called poverty teams. That's what the kids are calling, poverty franchises.
So the Rockets are a poverty?
Right now they're a poverty franchise, yeah.
I'm not sure that's how.
Well, that's what I'm sorry.
Like
that's
what I don't know that they like to
what,
be referred.
That's what Gen Z calls you. Your poverty franchise.
Orlando finished with 22 wins. Detroit finished with 23. Oklahoma City right in a stinkhole. They're 24th, so they don't have as many ping pong balls as Detroit, Orlando, or Houston. Now, the Rockets, because they had the worst record, the worst pick that they can get would be number 5. That would be almost disastrous, wouldn't it? If they got the fifth pick,
I mean, it'd make this year not even worth playing.
Yeah,
it's a joke. It's a joke, but it's kind of not. But you know, actually, based on what we've seen, you actually are not in a bad. Okay, number one, you do have draft capital potentially to move up. Although,
yeah.
If you're in the NBA and you're a bad team, yeah. Are you trading if you think you got a good pick? This isn't the NFL where you say, well, we need to do more rebuilding. We're going to move back out of pick number 3. If you're at pick number 3 in basketball this year, you ain't moving.
Right.
You're like, hey, we want to see about trading up. Nah, we're good, fam.
Yeah.
We're not moving out of number 3.
So it the top 3 picks are Chet Holmgren, Jabari Smith, and Paolo Banchero. Okay, so that's
pretty much universally.
Yeah, yes. Keegan Murray and Jaden Ivey are thought to be 4 and 5. Now, Keegan Murray could well be. I don't think you need a Jaden Ivey. You would have too much redundancy with. I don't know how long. I can tell you this. Christian Wood isn't long for this team. I don't know what you're going to get for him, but I don't know. I don't think that he's not going to be part of this.
You should
this organization
for Christian Wood. I mean, not
he's got a year left on his deal.
It's only a year. You have to have a team. I mean, he's clearly very valuable from a statistics standpoint, I guess. But this is the question. Like, this is what we're dealing with sports now. The money is getting so high. Well, it's the money's getting so high. I bring that up because. You got to worry about. You're not worried about what you're paying him now. You're not worried about his $14 million. You're worried about when he starts asking you for $30 million
plus.
And that's the problem. Is everyone thinks, well, I'm next up. I need to get mine. And what does Christian Wood do? Like, who wants to give Christian Wood $30 million? Maybe there's a really bad, dumb franchise out there that just values statistics and no wins. But Christian Wood is not. We've seen enough of him. Yeah, he has value on the stat sheet. But he didn't really have an impact on wins and losses this year. He's not a great defender. But I do think he would – I'll give you an example. And this is something RJ and I were talking about earlier. Like if – I'm pretty sure it was you and I talking about this, RJ. No, it wasn't. It was the intern. So it wasn't RJ. But I'll get RJ's thoughts on this since he's a Lakers fan. I'll give you an example. What if the Lakers decided we want to Well, maybe offload Anthony Davis's contract if they had decided to do that because they thought he would be like, it's just dead money that's sitting there now, basically. But forget even that. If you just said, okay, L.A. Lakers, if you could take one of those veterans off your team that are...
Well, here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. The Rockets are going to trade John Wall for Russell.
Right.
That's going to happen.
That's probably going to happen.
Yeah. That's going to happen, yeah.
And then they're just... And then
they're going to cut Russ.
Yeah, they'll either cut him or keep him.
They're going to cut him.
Yeah. Well, I don't know why you would. I mean, I don't know why they didn't just cut John Wall. You still have to pay him both of those guys both times.
I know.
Unless here's the difference. John Wall ain't trying to take a buyout. He wants you to give him all of his money because he's grinding out here. He's been a hell of a Rocket. And so you want him to, have his experience on that
the
roster.
Reports were true. He just wouldn't come off the bench.
No, yeah.
Yeah. He just wouldn't come off the bench. He said, if I ain't starting, I ain't. And they want him to play.
So the Rockets were mutually. No, he's stealing.
Yeah. And then they said, well, then just don't show up. And he didn't. They were
mutually whatever. And the Rockets are trying to do what's best for them. And he didn't want to. And, it's another player in Houston you had to pay without, and they don't have to play.
But look at the development of Jalen Green because he wasn't there.
But that's the thing, though. You had to do the right thing. Yeah. And you know what? If John Wall would have played ball, there was a time where John Wall might have been a good fit. When KPJ was really struggling, you could have fit Wall in there, and maybe Wall would have, added value and been able to be traded at that point. But I just – when you look at what the Rockets are going to do, you have John Wall, okay. Well, they could buy out Russell Westbrook. They could just buy him out and Russell go try to play somewhere else. But if you're – because that's the only way Russell's going to play somewhere. No one else wants to pay Russell Westbrook
money. And if you want to know the truth, I mean, do you look want Russell Westbrook on your team?
Honestly, look how – it's not really – I'm not going to put this on Russell Westbrook, the personality. I'm just saying Russell Westbrook is now officially going to be a target for – SportsCenter knows, ESPN knows he's an easy talking point all the time. Russ is shooting slump. What does this mean for the Rockets? Can Russ and Jalen coexist? Like, that's a nightmare. That's a nightmare. Why would you want Russell Westbrook in your building? It's nothing personal about him. It's like the Tim Tebow thing. Why would you ever want Tim Tebow in your building?
Well, he's not going to be in their building. They just want to get out of the jungle.
He's going to be in somebody's building.
Well, no, is he? Okay.
That's what I don't know. Telling me a guy
name
who's...
Name me a team that's going to say, I can't wait to get Russ.
This is the weirdest paradox that I've actually seen ever in NBA history. A player who is capable of getting a triple-double on any given night, and you believe, and I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, and you believe that nobody wants a guy who can get a triple-double on any night. Can you think of a player ever in history that's been that?
No. No. Not with this kind of, talent. He's the worst shooter in the league. He's the worst.
He's one of the worst historical star player shooters that I've ever seen.
Ever. So how about RJ? You get you some John Wall. You ready for that?
If you're going to throw in, I don't know, because I'm pretty sure.
What about Christian Wood?
Hold on. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying GM LeBron is going to say put Christian Wood in the deal.
Hold on a second.
That's what he's going to say.
You're getting rid of Russell Westbrook. You just take whatever you can. And, oh, by the way, you got to send us your first rounder. Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I want a mystery box who's only played 40 games in the last 3 years. I looked up an interesting stat. Dirk Nowitzki retired in 2017. Who's played more games between Dirk and John Wall?
You should.
Dirk played as many games as me since 2017.
He's upset about
John Wall played last year and was healthy. John Wall played.
He's played 40 games in the last 3 years.
Well, he couldn't play back to back.
He couldn't play back to back. But there was also a pandemic, so there was that. Listen, you should be thrilled. Anything to get you out of that Russell Westbrook contract.
What about just getting rid of Russ?
Yes, I mean Russ Osweiler needs to go. Ooh. You should send a draft pick to the Rockets to get rid of Russell Westbrook.
Oh, no,
last first-round draft pick in the next 4 million years.
They'll have to keep it. I don't think they would give it to you. But, but if you gave them Christian Wood, they have to give you something in return, too. And I don't know what you want.
I don't know if Christian Wood is part of that deal. I think you can get more than the Lakers can get you for Christian Wood.
Well, you'd like to offload John Wall's money, but yeah, I think the Lakers are more desperate. I think they're more desperate. So if you gave, it would have to be part of a three-team deal, probably.
What, with Christian Wood?
Yeah, if you did it, you might be able to.
Well, they,
be able
the
to
Lakers
do
would love to get Christian Wood. But.
Well, you might be able to do a three-team deal. Remember, there are a couple players on the Astros. Kenyon Martin Jr., Jayshon Tate, Eric Gordon. There are some players that other teams were calling about trying to get before trade deadline, and the Rockets wouldn't do it. There are players. The Rockets may decide, okay, we're going to get Holmgren, Jabari Smith, or Banchero. We're going to get those guys this year. I mean, there's a decent chance of it. And we are going to start to reshape our lineup. These are the guys we're building around. Once we get that draft pick, Jalen Green, and you have Şengün. Those are our core. Now, who are the best ancillary fits? Because what the Rockets need to do now is they need to quit bull cornering around and just saying, well, let's just play a bunch of guys together. It turned into 20 losses. You're an embarrassment defensively. You lost 7 in a row. And really, it's entertaining losses right now is all you're doing. Do you see any reason, based on Jalen Green that you saw at the end of the year, that the Rockets shouldn't get to 30 wins next year minimum? Oh. Minimum?
No. I think the Rockets will take a big step next year. I really do.
I do too.
Okay, well, it's okay. So if the worst case scenario, Rockets get the fourth or fifth pick because the big three are going to be gone. Jalen Duren, what do you think about him?
Don't know enough about him.
Oh,
I honestly would almost consider trading that pick. And here's why. I think it would be more valuable to another team. And I would.
Think Keegan Murray or Jalen Duren.
Yeah, but how many young guys?
Or Benedict Mathurin would be a good.
That's
a
made up
player.
Name. That's not a. Did DJ Lockdown give you Benedict Mathurin? That's not a real person.
Benedict Mathurin played the Cougs. He's from Arizona.
TJ. Oh yeah. Oh, that guy was bombing.
Yeah.
he was balling. You know, honestly though, but I honestly think it might be more valuable to get a legitimate. Quality starter, like a good starter, because you can't. It's going to be harder to just have Jalen Green, KPJ, Şengün. That's still the same young team that doesn't know how to win. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to go get a player with some experience and playoff experience to throw in the middle of it if you think they fit the culture that you're trying to build. I don't think that would be a bad move to go get somebody who is like a dude already. Not just a prospective dude, but go get a real dude, but one, obviously, that fits with Jalen Green. Everything you do now is going to have to be, how do we fit Jalen Green? So I hope he has high basketball character, meaning I hope he's going to continue to make his game better. I hope he'll do an occasional push-up. eat protein-based foods if you can a little bit. Get a little bit bigger and stronger, because that's a serious offensive weapon. But it doesn't change. Like, they're going to have to do something to turn these high-scoring losses into wins. They have to.
Yeah, no. You know what?
How many wins does Jalen have on this great 30-game win point scoring streak? He had no wins.
Yeah, that's true. And when he was out, they won. That was their best stretch of the season was when he wasn't there.
That's true.
However, I'm going to take Jalen Green. All of those things are correct going forward. However, I think that this organization, this team, I think they got a good plan. And it's funny, people were there, like you said, people were cheering, going crazy.
Oh, they were going crazy at the end of that game.
And I think this team, after watching what the Astros did, we're watching what the Rockets are doing. We're watching the rebuild of the Texans. We're a rebuild city. We've got the patience for this. We really do.
Yeah, well, we've done it with the Astros. Well, we don't have a choice.
Well, but we saw now if the Astros rebuild didn't succeed, we'd be like another flip. But we see what a rebuild, and you get yourself one of those top three picks, be it Banchero, Smith, or Holmgren. Now all of a sudden you got the start of something really, really good here. All right, when we come back, 713-780-3776. Let's talk about this Masters. Billy Harmon is going to join us in an hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But we got to wrap up the Masters after this. And then, what'd you learn this weekend?
How have you gone 30 minutes without talking about the Masters?
I know, right? It turned out to be kind of boring.
It did. It was boring. Now, for a second, it got interesting.
Yeah. But,
and great run by Rory, but we'll talk about that.
Yeah. We'll do that on the other side. But first, we got hoops. We got ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com. That's my man Keith Tate. And the best goal, I mean, we were just talking about the Rockets. The season is over, but the playoffs are starting. And your kids, like Mason, are going to get really, really interested in watching basketball, and they're going to want to play basketball, and they're going to want to go shoot, Dad. And they're young, and they're small, and they can't reach the rim. So it's not any fun. Well, if you get a pro dunk hoop, then you can lower the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it. And oh, by the way, it is the best goal, and it's not even arguable. When you talk about the quality, it is second to none. With the tempered glass backboard, with the unbreakable rim, with the it won't rust, the stanchion won't rust. The installation is second to none. You can raise and lower the goal. The kids want to have fun, Dad. So let the kids have fun with a Pro Dunk hoop. It is the best. Tell Keith Tate that you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As much as I wanted it to be, I find myself, and we're watching it. We're watching it over at Luling's, and you know, because we're all big golf fans over there. So it was fun to watch it with a bunch of people that love golf. And, you know, and we're rooting for Cameron Smith with the hair and the awesome. And somebody said, now, can somebody explain to me why we're rooting for Cameron Smith, a guy from Australia, instead of a Texan, a kid from Texas? Can somebody explain this to me? Well, because we want to watch a good tournament. That's why. We want to watch. We want it to be tight down the stretch, and every shot means something, and it just didn't. What meant something was, you're right, the way Rory finished, holy crap. He shot a 64 on the final day.
Too bad he couldn't have been a little bit closer, because it would have tightened it up. But Scheffler just, well, what a great job of Scheffler just of literally grabbing the reins of it. And at the very beginning, right, he lost a stroke. And here comes Cam Smith, and you're like, and that's before Rory was even really officially charging.
Well, Cam birdies two holes,
and then you're like, uh oh.
And then the turning point was Scheffler chipping in on three.
Yeah, so Scheffler was a
which is kind of early for a turning point, but
so after Cam Smith birdied, I don't even know if Cam Smith was off actually to start the round. Scheffler was -150 to win the tournament. I thought, -150. Now, you could fall apart some. You could get tight.
Yeah.
But that's not a guy who profiles as a player who's going to get tight. He's winning a lot of tournaments. So he doesn't profile as a guy that's likely to get tight, does he?
No, but anybody can in their first attempt to win. This is his first shot. I mean, it was his fourth. It's his fourth, I think, start. And just like Tiger, it was almost identical to Tiger. It was his fourth career win and his third start at Augusta National. And he won. I mean, it's almost identical to what Tiger did. What's going to be interesting, and we're going to talk to Billy Harmon about this, is what's going to be interesting is to see if he's got the staying power. Because we've seen recently world number ones. Dustin Johnson looked unbeatable when he won his Open. And then Jon Rahm looked unbeatable. And Brooks Koepka won four majors in a couple of years. And you're like, holy crap. These guys are – and then meh. And then meh. Now, Brooks Koepka had the knee injury. But Jon Rahm last year, we're all saying, Jon Rahm, wow, you can't beat this guy. And now Scottie Scheffler is a clear number one.
That's golf for all of eternity.
Well, sure.
Other than when Tiger had his dominant stretch, which still lasted only about 4 years.
But usually it's longer than Rahm's stay.
I remember when Jordan Spieth was everyone's it.
Yeah.
It boy. Right, like, right. It's Jon Rahm had a year.
Yeah.
That's about what you get. That's what you get. Right. You get a year, and then guess what? Jon Rahm will get another year at another point.
Yeah, and I guess you'll be MVP, and then you'll fall
off.
That's
what makes golf so interesting to me, and I don't miss tournaments, is because you always have – but it really is – I mean, in all seriousness, this is what it's always been. Phil, you know, boom, boom couples. I mean, I'll go all the way back to the late 80s, early 90s when he became the guy, and then he's off, and then it's Greg Norman. And then he's
got
off,
one major,
and it's,
right?
Yeah. But you know, they're winning tournaments, and they seem like the it guy. But the sport is so difficult, and small nagging injuries can play a part. Mental stuff plays a huge part, And that's why you know, it wasn't that long ago that Rory was the dude. Then it was Jordan Spieth was the dude. Like, you just can't beat Jordan Spieth. And it's cool to see. You don't see Spieth as much lately. Although Spieth's been fine, but Rory has, you know, Rory's made a little comeback into prominence. But John Rahm looked like he was going to be the guy. And John Rahm was the favorite headed into this tournament, even though Scottie Scheffler's been playing so well. But this is going to – Scottie Scheffler's number one in the world. He won the Masters. Is this Scheffler's time? Are we going to see him?
That's what I'm saying. You have no idea. Does he have the lasting power? Now, he's won four of his last six starts, which is unbelievable. Did you see – Jim Nance was talking about it while he was four-putting 18. He was like, you know, this guy in his amateur – when he was an amateur, he won an average of 66.7% of his tournaments, which is two out of every three. And that's what he's doing right now at the PGA level. You can't sustain that. That's just no way you can sustain what Scottie Scheffler is doing right now. But holy crap, is he good. Man, oh man, solid, solid, solid. When he hit into the trees on 18, on his on 18 on Saturday, it was like, the wheel's going to fall apart. He takes out a 3-iron, whoo, shoots it right over the pin, just over the green, putts, and gets a 5 as opposed to a 6 or a 7, which is what a lot of people were hoping for going into the final round, still with a 3-stroke lead over Cameron Smith heading to the final round.
So I had something similar, 5 at Nottingham Farms on Saturday. I went right with my throw, and I had to come out. And what I had to do is go over the trees, and you throw it. It's almost like a boomerang shot where you throw it up, but you throw it at an angle to where you know it's going to come back down towards the netting. And I had a similar
towards the net.
Well, it's the chain. It's the basket.
There's none of in golf. Baskets.
But I didn't go through that's the cool thing about his shot. When you hit that through the trees, like, you got to have a confidence that, frankly, I didn't have. It worked. I still
parred. Didn't hit it through the trees. He had to drop outside the trees. But okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, whatever he did,
right.
we both took a
shortcut.
It
wasn't anything like that, but yeah.
We both took a shortcut.
Right.
But when you're in the trees like that, trust me, I know. And I played through the wind on Saturday, and it was an issue. Same way it was an issue in Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
For those great athletes, all of us struggled with the wind on Saturday who played.
No, it was, hey, listen, and that wind and what he did, Scottie Scheffler is far and away right now the best player
in the
world.
Let's talk about Tiger. Tiger fell apart after one, partly wind, partly just physically. I just thought that was too much for him. And it ended up being too much for him, back-to-back 78s. Do you think it was just it's a physical situation right now? I mean, first of all, the sport's hard enough. He hadn't played for a long time. And then he was facing wins and difficult challenges. But you can't get away from the fact that that first round, it was never as good as the first round when his leg was probably in the best shape it was going to be in of the entire week.
Yeah, I'm you know what? No doubt the leg was an issue as the third and fourth days came. He's still Tiger Woods, man. To finish the way that he did, to make the cut, first of all, after not playing for as long as he did,
that's what I thought was the goal would be to make. I didn't think winning this was a realistic thing.
No,
making the cut was realistic to me, and that was great. Max, I think Tiger suffers from people, and I totally get it. But realistically, what he had happened to him should have took his leg. And for him to even be out there, Max Kellerman before, it's like, I don't know, man. I think some great things are coming from Tiger. Tiger Woods hadn't been winning at all until he won the Masters. And that's with a semi-healthy. But that, as you know, John, Tiger's never going to be fully healthy. He was never going to be fully healthy before he had the wreck. Tiger's body he's had lots of issues physically because of how he swings. This idea that Tiger's got some kind of, coming up on his 50s soon, well, he's still in mid-40s, and then after that debilitating injury that he has majors coming, it would be truly an incredible feat if Tiger could win a major with the physical issues that he's likely to have the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah. No, goodness gracious. I mean, I don't talk about, hey, listen, he said, here's Tiger talking about about his schedule. Tiger talking about continuing to play and what he's going to do going forward.
Tiger, 14 months ago, there were questions if you were even going to survive that car accident. Now you just completed your 24th Masters. Can you explain the gratitude, how it felt to walk up 18 on Sunday at a place where I think there were questions if you'd even return here again?
Well, I had the same questions. So it was an unbelievable feeling just to have the patrons and the support out there. I wasn't exactly playing my best out there, but just to have the support out there and just the appreciation from all the fans. And I don't think words can really describe that, given where I was a little over a year ago and what my prospects were at that time, to end up here and be able to play, you know, all four rounds. Even a month ago, I didn't know if I could pull this off. So, I think it was a positive, and I've got some work to do, and looking forward to it.
He said he's going to keep on playing. That was it. The gratitude quote. But he says he's going to keep on playing. And you got that? You got Tiger talking about what? Regardless. What'd you learn this weekend coming up in just a few. So we've got that going on right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What we're going to do when we come back, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So 713-780-3776. And it doesn't have to do with sports. It could be about Jalen Green. It could be about the Astros. It could be about Tiger Woods. It could be about your wife. It could be about your kids. It could be about your work. It could be about whatever it is. You learned something this weekend in one sentence. 713-780-3776. What'd you learn about your siding and your windows?
I learned that it looks great. I learned that it's energy efficient. You can see it in my electrical bills. Now, it's been a while since I went with my friends over at Allstate. And the thing that really separates Allstate windows and siding from everyone else is that it is a company that is owned inside the family. It's been family run for four generations. And Allstate Windows and Siding, they have windows that are built here in Texas. They're not built overseas. You don't have the same supply chain issues. But the one thing that you get with a Texas product is an understanding of Texas weather, an understanding of what we deal with high levels of humidity, with the ground shifting here in the city of Houston, with the excessive rain or the excessive winds, the heat, all of the elements. And it's built to withstand that. It's built to beautify your home, to make it more energy efficient, to reduce the noise. And all of those things certainly are the case when you deal with Allstate Windows and Siding. Get rid of those old aluminum windows. They're the worst. You need to get these windows from Allstate Windows and Siding. They can also do a siding job for you that's going to add to the beauty of your home and certainly add to your energy efficiency as well. Call 832-204-1936. You're going to get a free inspection and 25% off your windows. And for a limited time, no interest for 36 months when you pay that off when you mention ESPN 97.5 and Lance Zierlein. So 832-204-1936. Remember this. For the best rate, call Allstate. That's AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 749 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This has been a big hit, so let's go. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? RJ, do you have anything that you learned this weekend in one sentence?
That the Lakers are going to probably hire Doc Rivers as their next coach.
Okay, you learned that. And are you happy or sad about that?
On paper, it's going to look good, and he's not going to take us anywhere. So, I mean, you know, hey. It is what it is at this point.
I'll be honest. I'd love to have Doc Rivers for the Rockets. I think his attitude and demeanor is something that would really fit the Rockets.
Yeah. You'd like to have somebody that will actually maybe make them do
have an
work.
Offense.
Yeah, and play some defense. Yeah. That'd be great. 713-780-3776. Did you learn anything this weekend?
What I learned is that my injured ankle recovery, that I can push things too far and really hurt later in the day with that. Just sore. Mm-hmm. I went a little too hard.
One
Saturday.
Sentence. That's all you get. One sentence. Oh yeah. We understand. We understand.
Yeah.
We gotcha. So you went out. And
I went a little too.
You played a disc frisbee golf. Whatever
disc,
it's called.
We call it disc golf, John. Yeah, I played.
You played with a frisbee.
Rounds. I played two rounds.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. 713-780-3.
Burned 1,056 calories.
Did you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Oh.
What you call a poverty step counter, right. I call technological miracle Fitbit.
I learned that, I'm just going to get mine out of the way now. I learned that Grace Bible Church has integrity because I offered to lead the show with talking about Grace Bible Church if I won the cook-off. And I didn't. So I knew they couldn't be bribed, and they couldn't be threatened either. Because I made my meatball sliders, and you have to write it. I said they came all the way from Italy, and guess what? They better win because we don't forget stuff.
So you threatened people at a church?
Not only threatened, but I bribed, and I learned
you bribed and threatened.
Threatened.
Feels on brand for your meatballs.
Well, I thought this always works. How could it not work? And it didn't work for me. That's a problem. That's a problem I'm having with people with integrity, is that, you know what? You can't be bribed or coerced.
Yeah, people with integrity are the worst.
They're the worst. Ocho is here. Ocho, what'd you learn this weekend?
I learned more about money laundering from watching Ozark than I did from watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
It's true. It did teach you.
It did
teach you. Ozark teaches you about what money laundering looks like.
No, it absolutely does.
How it works.
Good job, Ocho. That's good.
That's actually a perfect one.
That's perfect. Yeah. No, that's well done. Tom, what did you learn this weekend?
I learned that when you're doing a tribute tweet to someone who died, that is not the time to criticize his collegiate and professional play.
That is true, boy.
Thank you, Tom.
Wow.
That's the first one to bring that up. That's
wow.
That's an Adam Schefter.
And Gil Brandt.
But the tweet, Adam Schefter, for those who aren't aware, and we'll get a little deeper into it, made a comment about he was saying that Dwayne Haskins died, which that's the first that I saw. Like, he broke that news that I knew.
Yeah.
But inside of the tweet, he just said Dwayne Haskins, who started Ohio State but struggled in the NFL or something like that, died. And you would think, okay, well, that's kind of poorly timed to put that he struggled. I thought it was poorly worded, maybe poorly timed to mention his NFL struggles when a 24-year-old was killed in a. But the internet now wants him gone, and that ESPN must cut ties with him. So yeah, Twitter's a little insufferable.
He's already
right now.
Been canceled.
But luckily, the good news is Adam Schefter reached out and apologized to Ryan Clark. So Ryan Clark said, "Listen, guys, he's apologized to me." Okay. And I was struggling with that. Like, the only thing I can think of is Ryan Clark played with the Steelers. Like, maybe he's family friends with the Haskins. I don't know why you. Do you have to apologize to Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark before you do anything?
Well, Ryan Clark first. And I'm surprised Stephen A. didn't get an apology, too. Because Stephen A. will, you know, he represents.
Stephen A. didn't get an apology because Stephen A. said that Dwayne Haskins was an option quarterback or whatever. And he said Shohei Ohtani. You remember the apology tour that Stephen A. had to make for Shohei Ohtani?
Did you
forget that?
That is true. Let's get Mark in here. What'd you learn this weekend, Mark?
I'm just continue to be impressed by RJ's catalog of Houston-centric bump music.
Houston-centric bumps. Oh.
Music.
Well, that I don't think you learned that this weekend. No, you learned that probably. It didn't learn that at all this weekend.
Well, we'll do this on the other side. I'm going to ask you. We're going to have We're going to say we're going to have a little segment called Find Out About RJ. We're going to slowly over time find out about you. I got a question for you. Starting 8 o'clock hour, let's get AMS. Oh, no, that's AMF, I'm sure. Yeah. What's up, AMF?
What's up, fellas? What's
Long up, time fellas? No here, brother. Where you been?
Man, I've been working two jobs lately, so I've been tied down, man.
I got you.
But I'm good. Look, this is what I learned this weekend. As great of a...
Oh, it's terrible of a phone you have. That's
oh,
what.
Oh, what are we
Did we
doing?
Cut him off? Oh. Well, let's get back in here, AMF. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Mike, what did you learn this weekend in one sentence? Let Mike go. No?
Get your wife off on a Friday night. She'll probably let you go play poker.
Say it again.
Wait a minute. Start over again. We missed the beginning. Go ahead. Mike. Oh, if you take your wife out and I guess take her to a nice dinner, maybe, and she'll let you go play poker.
That would track. Yeah, that is that tracks.
Sure. No. That's a good lesson learned. That's a good lesson out there for everybody. Take her to a nice dinner and then you come home.
Well, anytime you want something, you always do the pre-plan it to where you butter up. It's a leverage play.
Absolutely.
It's a leverage play. It's two things. Potentially leverage. Number two, it's also putting someone in a good mood. Makes some sense.
Yeah. No, it's a merit basis thing.
Give
hey,
a good
you deserve
AMF
it.
Back
you
on.
Deserve it.
Here's AMF. That means
AMF.
Adios.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What?
Okay. Sorry about that. We lost you.
I'm good. Look, I was gonna say, as great as a generational player that Trout is, I learned that I don't think he has that clutch gene.
Okay.
That's just me. Clutch. Tell me his clutch moment. I don't have one.
Yep. No. I think that's fair. Dude has played in three postseason games in his entire career. It's not his fault they can't put together anything there. They're just not good. They're the Angels. I mean, they do have Syndergaard now, and that's nice.
It just doesn't make sense for them to be that bad, though.
They're just – it's amazing how bad. It's good as a lineup they have.
That kind of star power.
Yeah, and they just have not – they're just not good enough. They're just not. And part of it is Trout. That's right. I think you're right. I think you're dead on. 713-780-3776. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend – in one sentence, I can't see the top name up there. Whatever it is, can get.
We don't have one,
but yeah,
he's
up there.
He's answering right now.
Huh? No, we got one. Oh, okay. We got Rolando. Is that Rolando that you got on? This is awfully. I guess we don't have an intern. This is tough. All right, 7:58. I'll tell you what. We'll try and get. Can we got? Yeah. Is it Roland? Rolando. Let's get Rolando up. Hey, Rolando, what'd you learn this weekend?
Hey, what's up, John and G? What's up, Lance? My name is Lorando, a.k.a. La Raza. What's up, fellas?
La Raza! No, you're not Irv. Rolando, not. Irv is La Raza.
Yeah, I learned that Tiger really struggled without that Molly Percocet, man.
Oh, man.
That's heartbreaking.
That is.
Well, I don't know that he's I don't know that that makes him play better, but now, could he have used pain medicine?
No, maybe. Maybe that
could he
ain't
have
it.
Used a sensible?
Maybe it's something else that he don't get as
well,
much.
Well, wait. Molly is not pain medicine, but could he have used some type of pain relief? Yeah, probably.
Listen,
a sensible, non-addictive dosage of it, maybe.
Listen,
not like dope sick.
I'm telling you, he misses more than Molly and Percocet. He misses that good stuff, is what he's missing. Okay, because when he was getting it,
what's the
on
good
a regular?
Stuff? What's the good stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's when he
Perkins
started,
waitresses.
Well,
and
he started falling apart on. He actually started falling apart after he got married. Marriage failed him.
No,
too.
No. He was great after he got married.
When was Tiger married?
In 2009 was when it fell apart when she took the 7-iron.
He wasn't winning a ton of
tournaments
back
really
then,
good.
Was
yes,
he?
Yeah, he was still.
No,
really
I'm talking about winning majors.
Yeah, he was still really good. He was still good.
When was he at his best?
2001 was an this was stupid.
Ain't no woman on that one. He didn't marry Elin back then.
No. But he was still really good up until. I mean, but he was getting more. He had how many, dude?
Look,
when he was at his best, he
Masters 97, 01, 02, 05. When did he get married? Will he get married before 05?
Yeah, because
99, 2000, 06, 07, PGA, U.S. Open. It all kind of came to a crashing halt about 05, 06. He had one U.S. Open in 08, one in 09. But, man, for him, from basically 97 to 2005, that man was killing the game. When did he get married?
He got married in 04.
Thank you.
No, 05, he had a big year.
Thank you.
Yeah, year,
sure. The first year, he's probably not catting around either.
Well, look at Ricky year. That first year. He was married.
And then he's like, ugh.
Destroyed. 8 o'clock. Let's quickly get some more in here. John, what you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Yeah, I learned that Whataburger is no longer serving the jalapeno cheddar biscuit or the chicken fajita taco, which means they can't serve the Monterey Nut burger, which is the best burger they ever had. Huh? Screw you, Chicago. Everybody call Chicago. And
that's it. You get one sentence. Beat it.
That's the rule.
Underrated mess. What'd you learn this weekend?
I learned that Quincy Avery gets real sensitive when you mention Deshaun Watson's towel.
You must have had a tweet, and you were.
Who gets real sensitive?
That's Quincy Avery.
Oh, did Quincy block
him? Yeah, I guess so. You can't talk about Deshaun's towel
to
Quincy.
Deshaun is that man's paycheck. Yeah,
John, what'd you learn this weekend? Last one.
Man, I learned that Twitter is very unhappy with Dusty for always batting Kyle Tucker sixth in the lineup.
I know, right? That and putting Nico Goodrum in the three hole.
What?
What the?
This is a serious question. I mean, clearly there's some analytics to play here, because they must see this as, okay, this is this part of the lineup, then this is this part of the lineup. Maybe they compartmentalize the lineups. What does Kyle Tucker have to do to get out of, like, hitting sixth?
I mean, this dude has the third best OPS in the AL since last year, and he's batting sixth. 801 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. I was just thinking about the doc. I'm looking at my – oh, man, my hair looks – I'm having a good hair day today. It's all because of Doc Linville, too. I'm having a good hair life now. I didn't have a good hair life before because I had all kinds of mange. Okay, mange is where you've seen a mangy dog, which there's a bunch of bald spots in the dog, and you're like, that poor thing. Well, that's what I was, okay? I had a bunch of bald spots all over the place. Now my friends can't make any fun of me. My wife loves to run her fingers through my hair. It's what it is. I got hair. And you know what? It's awesome. And you know, I'm not that vain. What? You don't want hair? Oh, yeah, sure you want hair. Yeah, everybody wants hair. Name a good a superhero that's bald. There's no such thing. Superheroes have beautiful hair, and you can have beautiful hair too. It's all with Doc Linville. All you need to do is go to 975hair.com, start the process. It's so easy. It's so wonderful. I was in the chair for 4 hours. That's it. And then 8 months later, I'm looking at some beautiful hair. You can do it too. All you got to do is start the process. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.